Dan, thank you so much for doing this. How are you?
Dave, thank you so very much for having me on as a guest. I'm doing great over here in the state of Pennsylvania. I know we're separated by a lot of miles, but thank God for telephones, and we're going to hit in some very important information today, especially how all of this directly links to spiritual things and what the Bible has to say about all of this.
Absolutely, and I look forward to it too. And you know, I got to tell you, Dan, I have been looking for this subject to do this topic because it is a little bit controversial for a lot of people. Whether you're religious, whether you're non-religious, it doesn't matter. For a lot of people, there seems to be a real sense of, you know, the hair standing up on the back of your neck because you're like, uh-oh, are we really getting into that? It seems to be one of those taboo topics as what I'm trying to say here. And why do you think that there is so much instability between the relationship of God and church and extraterrestrial contact?
Well, I don't know what it is for a lot of people, but I believe there are a lot of people that are fearful of the possibility that aliens might exist, and they might think somehow, because they have been wrongly taught, that that therefore would contradict the message of the Bible, which it does not. The Bible actually teaches that God created everything in the heaven, the earth, and seas, and everything in them. So if intelligent alien life does exist, and it seems like the evidence for such is overwhelming, then there is no way for a person that would profess to be a Christian why he or she should doubt the message of the Bible, because still there is nothing that contradicts the scriptures. And may I add, nothing ever will contradict the scriptures. The Bible is the inerrant, infallible word of the living God, and we can absolutely stand on that word. The problem here with this issue is the fact that the devil is alive. Now, of course, there are things that do occur, and I don't believe that everything that is supposed to be a ET or an extra biological entity or an alien is a demon, but I certainly do know that the devil is very deceptive, very, very clever, he's aggressive, and he uses religious means whereby he can communicate false concepts. It doesn't matter if it's through a vision, a dream, a sensation, a Ouija board, an alien. Anything that will contradict the Bible religiously is something that we need to throw out. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself personally endorsed the entire Old Testament, and he promised the New Testament. So he has unique credentials, unlike anyone else, and because of what he taught, what he said, and how he operated when he was here, then we know that the written word of God that we call the Bible is something that is absolutely 100% true, safe, and correct. Anything or anyone that would contradict that message, and that's exactly what I see with some of these aliens and the messages connected with them, I see definitely contradictions between what the Bible says and what the aliens are communicating, sadly. And that's the thing that really bothers me. So before I go any further, perhaps I should stop and let you interject anything you have to say at this point.
Well, normally the way we do this show, this is about you, my friend. It has nothing to do with me. I'm just the captain of this chair here, my friend. I'm the navigator. You're the pilot. We're going to go off of what you say. But I do have a question for you. Your church on your website, evangelicaloutreach.org, has an entire long, long piece of history written out about extraterrestrials and God, UFOs, aliens. Why has your church wanted to tackle this subject, yet so many different churches out there are still refraining from even thinking about the possibility?
Why a lot of Christian groups would refrain from dealing with this, I believe it's just fear of the unknown. They don't really know what will transpire. If it really came out with concrete evidence that aliens really do exist, a UFO would crash into a big city and they would know positively that they are there, that they are here on our planet, then how would that shake people up? You quoted before Pope Francis. But the issue, even though all of this is intriguing, it's curious, it's something that people are interested in, because so many of us, including myself, we have seen things in the sky that we can't quite make heads or tails out of it, and we think that there's something very strange going on. And all that is fine. We can scratch our head and wonder. And, of course, it really doesn't make that much of a difference, except when we get to the subject of religion. when we get to the spiritual aspect of it, that's what I want to deal with the next minute or two, and that is coming right back around to the message that is being conveyed by a lot of these outlets speaking the alien gospel. The message of aliens, and it is things such as that the human race has been designed and created by aliens, that humans are part alien, that aliens made the moon, that Elijah, the prophet in the Old Testament, was taken away in a UFO, that when the Lord Jesus ascended in Acts chapter 1, he was really beamed up into an alien aircraft. And that God does not exist at all, and miracles are from aliens and not God. That is absolutely horrible. That is poisonous, and it contradicts what Jesus and his apostles taught about the Bible, about God, and of course creation and all these other things. It calls it into question. It would make people doubt the message of the Bible. If this is really true, well, then the Bible is not as accurate as a lot of people have been told. So you could see the problem, because the Bible is how we find out how to get our sins forgiven and how to enter God's paradise kingdom upon death. That is the most important and precious book on the planet that we could study and learn from and take to heart. There's nothing like it. Now, I know it's interesting to study UFOs and to hear what the ufologists have said and what they are saying, but that really doesn't make too much difference, and it will not make any difference at all once we die. The important thing is to go to the scriptures and to find out what the Lord Jesus said and to put it into practice, because like he said, these are the ones that are his spiritual family. So that's what we need to do. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, there's an enemy. Peter wrote of him, he said, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." I was raised in a false religion. I was taught that the devil is in hell. That absolutely is not true. The devil, instead of being in hell, he's prowling around throughout the whole earth, all over Canada, United States, and everywhere else, trying to deceive people religiously, trying to devour us. The only way that won't occur is to get in the Bible, learn what the Bible says, and act upon that message. So, when we have a near-death experience, or somebody would allegedly appear at a seance, or if somebody's dabbling with Ouija boards, which are forbidden, all that witchcraft stuff is bad news. Anybody that would get any message contrary to the message of the Bible, if it would come from Fatima, Portugal, as Catholics think, or Joseph Smith Jr., where he got the golden tablets, or if it would be Muhammad allegedly getting a message from Gabriel, which resulted in the Quran, or some other source. Anything that would contradict the Bible cannot be from the same source that gave us the Bible, because the Bible is true, and anything that would contradict truth can't also be true. It's impossible. You cannot have two divinely inspired truths in contradiction one with the other. Either one is wrong, or the other is wrong, or they're both wrong, but they both can't be right. And since the Bible has been endorsed by the Lord Jesus, we know that is right. And heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will never pass away. And here's another very important point, and that point is the book of Revelation tells us what's going to happen in the end. We know by reading the book of Revelation, and aliens are not part of it. Now, I know, again, I would like to say that people are very interested in the subject. It's a very interesting subject. It has a lot of people intrigued. They want to know more, but the most important thing is to realize that this is at best secondary or tertiary to the message of the Bible. We need to go to the Word of God and put that first, and anything that would contradict it, which the alien gospel does, then we have to reject it. That's the danger, that's the concern I see, and not only myself being raised in a false religion, my wife was as well. And we have seen all kind of horrible things that have occurred over the decades because of false religious concepts. And of course, dealing with the aliens, we have the same kind of thing happening. It's not so much you have a person proclaiming to be a prophet of God that's speaking contrary to the Bible. In this case, this is supposed to be an intelligent, far advanced being from another planet or another galaxy over here, and people just assume that they are in the know. Well, if they do exist, and they're saying something contrary to the Bible, if it really is them speaking, why should anyone assume that they're factual or that they're moral? Perhaps they're not moral at all. Perhaps they don't know about that. And then you hear stories about aliens and flying saucers crashing. So if UFOs have crashed, like they believe in 1947 at Roswell, if that really did occur, then it shows that alien beings are fallible. They make mistakes. If not, the UFO would not have crashed. So there's all kind of problems here, and I think a lot of people are being swept up with this, and a lot of people that are, they don't know the message of the Bible. And again, I know it probably seems strange to your audience, but the Bible really is the Word of God. I know a lot of people think that Christians are too extreme on that issue, but it really is the proven Word of God. It's impossible for the Bible not to be the Word of God. It's mathematically impossible. And the message of the Bible does work, and that message tells us that heaven and earth will pass away, but His words will not pass away. And what we have written in the Bible is it. We can stand on it. We're safe to believe its message, and anything that will contradict that message, therefore, is dangerous to believe, especially if it in any way, shape, or form, directly or indirectly linked to salvation itself. And if anybody would question the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has said about creation or anything else, therefore, it's an indirect, subtle attack against salvation itself and His Lordship. So you can see the problem that comes from the alien gospel and just all the people that are being swept up in this. We got people all over the world for sure. You could tell me a lot better than anyone how many people are interested in the subject, and they're probably just swallowing hook, line, and sinker basically anything they could hear about this because it's so interesting to them, and they've seen UFOs, they've seen weird things, and they don't know what to make of it. They're looking for answers.
Well, and that's exactly what they are, Dan, and I'm an experiencer myself. I have no problem going on record as saying that I am a believer of God. I've had a run-in with the angel of death twice, which really confirmed my stance that there is something more out there, okay? And I'm reading the comments in the chat rooms. I see what's going on here. There's some for, some against. But the main thing that brings people together on this show is we are experiencers. Now, me personally, I have seen approximately 130 UFOs over the last 5 years, including one that was literally about 150 yards for me. I've come face-to-face with five extraterrestrials. And as someone who is a believer in God, which I am, and someone who has also been face-to-face with an extraterrestrial, my question to you then is, if God is the creator of all, which we can agree on, He is the Alpha and the Omega, He created the stars, He created the heavens, He created the universe, how can we be naive on this planet to say that we're His only life source that He has created?
Yeah, I agree with you. It doesn't make sense, especially in light of all the evidence that, in my opinion, is vastly overwhelming to show that intelligent alien life does exist. I mean, not only the sightings, there's abductions and implants and mutilated cows and mutilated, even some mutilated humans, crop circles and all the mysterious deaths of the UFO researchers, Phil Schneider and Carla Turner, and the list goes on and on. I agree. God is almighty. God created this whole universe, and He put life in everybody's body. But the issue comes right back around to this. You mentioned that you're a believer in God. Well, that's great. I'm glad you do believe in God. Hopefully, it's the God of the Bible. But even more important than believing in God, because in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius believed in God, and yet he didn't have his sins forgiven. What you have to do is go another step. You have to get committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the place where you are turning from your sins, and you're going to follow Him unashamedly in this wicked, sinful world that we're living in. That makes the difference. That's when a person becomes a real Christian and they go beyond just believing in God. You have to believe in Jesus to have eternal life and to be prepared to die. Now, let me tell you something, Dave. I'm glad that you mentioned all the things you did. I appreciate that. That helps me know you a little bit better because I really didn't know much about you until we started talking about 20 minutes ago. So the point is, it comes right back around to, you mentioned your experiences with the angels of death and aliens, but a person that really has the Spirit of God in him, and that's the case if they're a Christian, that person has the greater one dwelling in him. And believe it or not, there is power available for each and every Christian that he or she can actually command in the name of Jesus spirit beings to come out of a body like a demon spirit. Or I believe, I never came face to face with an alien being, but if I ever did, God forbid, but if I ever did, I certainly would command him to go in the name of Jesus. And I did hear at least one testimony. I'm really not into that much. I'm a lot more into just teaching the Bible in general and trying to win souls and contend for the Christian faith. But I did read where that happened one time. I think it was a woman that commanded an alien being, or what she thought was an alien being, to go in the name of Jesus, and it left. This comes right back around again to the message of the Bible and knowing what we Christians can do in a situation like that. So that's where we are. There are a lot of people interested in it. People are seeing things, and this is all over the world. It's getting more and more and more pronounced.
No, and I understand that, and I can appreciate that. However, what a lot of people who listen to this show, Dan, are starting to feel is, you know, it's not that they're atheists. It's not that they're becoming agnostic. It's that what they are seeing, and if we want to go down this road, we can. I'm not suggesting we do, but I'm going to make this comment, okay? What they are suggesting is there is a real difference between spirituality, believing in God, believing in Jesus Christ, and believing in religion. Organized religion is failing. I think for a lot of religions, it is failing. And whether that's a controversial statement or not, it probably can be taken that way. Okay? But a lot of people are seeing the pedophilia in the Catholic churches. They're seeing people's heads being cut off in the name of religion. They are seeing, you know, preachers on television telling their congregation they need a new $65 million airplane in order to spread God's word. This is what people are seeing on a daily basis. And what they've said is they're no longer falling for it. Okay? Now, as far as my own experience with the angel of death, I watched my wife's grandmother pass away right in front of me. I'm someone who used to have absolute panic attacks, anxiety attacks about death, because I kind of like life. And one of the questions that I will have for God above when I get there is, why did you create us to die? Because that doesn't make sense to me on a human nature. But when I saw her spirit come out of her body and hover over her body 9 minutes before she breathed her final breath, it gave me a peace that I have never felt before. And that's why I know there is something more to this. There's a lot of people out there who have not had this same experience. But you can't blame the people for walking away when they see so much hypocrisy going on in the holy buildings of today.
Right, I wholeheartedly agree. And as I mentioned, I was raised in a false religion. To be precise, I will name it. I was raised a Roman Catholic. I wanted to stay a Catholic, and I started reading the Bible to draw closer to God, and I was shocked at what I was seeing in the Bible, in the Catholic Bible. But you see, you brought up the issue of organized religion. Everybody probably has a slightly different definition of what that would be. But forget that. I mean, forget all of this denominational stuff. We're talking about the message of the Bible. Nobody has to be in any one particular denomination to be a Christian. To be a Christian, you can get forgiven of your sins not by going to the priest or going in a particular church or doing anything else. Humbly, sincerely, from your heart, you go directly to God, turn from your idols, your sins, to commit to follow Jesus and to do the will of God. And that is what I'm talking about. That's the message of the New Testament. The repentant thief, he got forgiven on the cross. We have where the Philippian jailer got saved right there in the jailhouse. We have the Ethiopian eunuch. He got saved in the chariot on the desert road. And the list goes on and on and on with people not being in any kind of building and coming to forgiveness and coming to the Lord Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the kind of religious things that are going on in our day right now. Our world, again, this world, this environment is filled with religious deception. And this tends to discourage and frustrate and hurt people Sad to say. It shouldn't be like that, but it is. It is like that. And as you mentioned before, there's pedophilia. You have a Catholic priest molesting children, and then here the bishop will shift him to another area, and rather than having him locked up in jail, he's moved somewhere else where he continues to do his criminal acts, molesting more children. Very, very sad and disgusting, but that's the day that we live in. But you see, none of that changes the message of the Bible. God is still real. What Jesus did on the cross is still valid. The blood of Jesus Christ, which we can contact by faith when we repent humbly from our heart to commit to Him, that will cleanse us of our sins. Now, you mentioned that you seen the spirit of your loved one hover over her body. But, of course, a person doesn't have to see anything like that because we have the message of the Bible. In Luke chapter 16, we see something very similar to that. Jesus actually gave an account of a dialogue that transpired on the other side of the grave. There were two people that lived and died, one rich and one poor, a very sickly poor beggar. The beggar was a righteous man. He went to the comfort side of Abraham's bosom. The other side of the impassable gulf was a place of fiery torment. And the difference is, of course, the pain and the misery, but the man that was in fiery torment, he wanted a message to be sent back so that his five brothers could repent to avoid coming to the same place where he was. The point is, God said to him, the message there was that they had the written word of God, the Bible. Let them listen to the Bible, and if they don't listen to the message of the Bible, they won't listen, though somebody would come back from the dead. Spiritual experiences are great as long as it advances someone toward the message of the Bible. But that's not always the case. If you look at near-death experiences, many of them, and we have a really detailed page on that, a lot of these near-death experiences, they contradict one another. Person A will contradict person B, who will contradict person C. So how do we know what is right, or are they all wrong? They can't all be right because they're in contradiction one with the other. Sometimes you'll hear from these near-death experiences, and may I add, an experience, where these people die in their sin, in atheism, or some kind of other vile wickedness, and where do they go? They go to a paradise heaven. So something is very, very wrong, but that's not always the case, of course, because some of these near-death experiences do account for a fiery end, a place called hell. But again, it comes right back around to this. If anything lines up with the message of the Bible, an experience, a vision, a dream, we can accept it. If it contradicts the Bible, it cannot be from the same source that gave us the Bible, and therefore it has to be dangerous to our soul to believe it. So nobody should be discouraged. It's not God that is responsible for all the pedophilia, all the hypocrisy, all the horrible things going on out there, all the false prophecy. If it's Harold Camping coming out with some kind of rapture false prophecy or someone else, all this lunacy doesn't change anything in the Bible. The Bible is still true. And by the way, Jesus warned that there would be many false prophets that would come, that would arise, and would deceive many people. So this is a fulfillment of what Jesus said 2,000 years ago would occur. But we do know this too, that wickedness is going to increase. Jesus stated that, the very thing that we see. Wickedness is increasing. It's unbelievable over the last 20 or 30 years how things have gone down spiritually. And sad to say, they're going to continue to go down spiritually up until the time that the Antichrist comes to the forefront. It's going to happen. It's going to play out exactly like the Bible says. And sad to say, and getting back to aliens again, sad to say, I heard where some of these people out there have said that the aliens are going to prevent nuclear war. Not true. If you read the book of Revelation, definitely, without mentioning the words nuclear war is described. Sad to say. I wish it wasn't so, but it is described. Sadly, that is going to occur sometime, maybe not in our lifetime, maybe another 100 years or so down the road. We don't know. Nobody knows. These times are in God's hands. It will occur at the right time, but the point is, it's going to play out exactly like the Bible says. Aliens are not our savior. Aliens are not going to tell us the truth that we need to know about how to get our sins forgiven. Neither can we trust near-death experiences or visions or dreams or anything as final authority. Final spiritual authority is the Bible. We have to go by the written word of God. And here's a zinger for you. Remember this. Peter the Apostle Peter, said we have the Word of God more sure than the audible voice of God himself. Now, he was referring to what happened at the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17. That's where he was there with two other of the apostles and the Lord Jesus, and the Heavenly Father spoke about Jesus. And he referred to that in one of his two epistles. And he said, we have the word of the prophets more certain than the audible voice of God. Now imagine that. That is absolutely astounding to grab hold of what he said and his endorsement of the written word of God, which we call the Bible. This word that we call the Bible, this is it. And where everybody's going to be, the people that are listening to me, not only you, me and everyone else all over the world, where we are going to be after we die depends on what we do with the message of the Bible. That's it. It's what the book says. It's our contract with Almighty God. We are either going to learn what it says and line up with that book, or we are in serious trouble with Almighty God, the God of the Bible. Now listen to this. Hebrews 4:13. Nothing in creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So Almighty God is the one that we are going to stand before on Judgment Day. We got to find out what he wants from us, and we better do it, or we're in serious trouble. And again, there's someone, an enemy, a spiritual enemy, the devil, who's trying to deceive us and lead us astray.
Dad, we can't say, though, that the aliens are the enemy. We can't say that.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying if they give a religious message contrary to the message of the Bible, it is not an accurate statement. Anything that will contradict the message of the Bible, alien or some other source, if it's a near-death experience from your neighbor or anyone else, a dream, a vision, anything, we have to throw it out. It's not true. Some of these aliens are saying things, allegedly, religiously, that are not in accord with the Bible. It's not paralleling the message of the Bible. Therefore, it cannot be from the same source that gave us the Bible, and therefore, we must not, we better not believe what they're saying.
I can understand that, because we don't know. We don't know which ones are benevolent. We just don't know which ones are malevolent. But on the flip side, earlier on, you had stated that the aliens are the ones who are not going to protect us from nuclear war. I don't think anybody here believes that, but this is what I can tell you from my own personal knowledge and talking to a lot of people on this show who are way smarter than I am. I'm just a lowly journalist and an experiencer, but this is what I do come to my own personal conclusion. Dude, if they have the technology to fly trillions of miles through the stars and through wormholes and whatever to get to Earth, I think they have the ability and would have taken us out a long time ago before there was 7.8 billion people on this world. I think they would have taken us out already. They've had plenty of opportunity. We could even say they've had a plethora of opportunities to do so, yet they haven't. So I'm not saying it's a narrow-minded thought, but I wonder where the basis is for anybody to say that they're here to blow up this planet. They're here to take us over. They're here to enslave us, treat us as food, their food, that is, or maybe to walk their own pet dogs. I don't know. But I'm wondering where that thought comes from.
Good question. It doesn't come from the Bible. I know that. They're not going to overtake us. Jesus is coming back. You don't read of aliens at all in the book of Revelation. It's not there. I do agree with what you said, though, that if they come from galaxies away or wherever on the other end of the universe, they're very intelligent and technologically much more advanced than we are. And it would seem that they are capable of stopping a nuclear war. At least we hear different rumors. People have testified that they have shot down rockets, test rockets and other things like that. But if they have or not, if it's true or not, it really doesn't make any difference, because the message of the Bible in the book of Revelation describes nuclear war. So however that's going to occur, it's going to occur, with or without aliens. Aliens are not even really a consideration. These things are going to happen. They're going to play out exactly like the Bible says. Aliens probably do exist. I can't see how it's possible that they don't. I believe the evidence is overwhelming that they do exist. But we know this, if the devil can come as an angel of light, if Satan is here trying to deceive people, coming as an angel from God, He can also come as an alien from another galaxy with a religious message to deceive us, to turn away from God and the message of the Bible, to ruin us in eternity. So we have to be on our guard. We have to be alert. And if we're not alert and on our guard, like Peter warned, we are going to be devoured. And the only way we can be alert, we have to know the message of the Bible. And that's one unique thing about the Bible. I've been reading the Bible for over 40 years, and it never gets old. You could never read any book, it doesn't matter what it is, written by whoever, for 40 years, you would be disgusted with it. You'd never want to look at another page, another word, but it's not that with not that way with the Bible. The Bible is alive, it's true, and you'll get more and more truth from the Bible as you continue to draw near to God based on the message of Scripture. So this thing is real. God really does exist. We really do have a soul. We do have a spirit. Judgment Day is before us, and it's very important. It's vitally important, may I add, that we don't depart from the message of the Bible, if it's from an alien or anything else, regardless of what, whoever, whatever, don't do it. Stick to the message of the Bible. Remain faithful to the Lord Jesus right to the very end. He shed his blood on a cross for us. He rose again from the grave. He's coming back. He's the Lord of lords and the King of kings, the only hope of mankind. He is our life, our sweetness, and our hope, not Mary. Jesus is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. And he's the one we're to look to, and he's the one that can forgive us, and we go directly to him for ourselves, for forgiveness, humbly from our heart, and our hearts will be purified because of our faith in him. You don't do that in a church. You don't go before a priest. You don't do anything like it. It's you and God. God looks right on the heart, and you can be forgiven right where you are, wherever that is. If you're in a car, if you're in a house, or if you're in your yard somewhere, you can be forgiven from your heart if you go to God humbly and sincerely, and you realize what a mess you made out of your life and how bad you need Jesus and that your sins are dragging you to hell. Jesus is the one that can save you. In fact, he's the only one that can save you. He's the only Savior. He has the only name under heaven given among men in which salvation is found. And he's the only way to the Father. He is the only door into heaven and the only mediator between God and man. So he's the one we must go to, and he will take us in. And he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what he wants from us. He wants to give us rest, but we got to do it his way.
But we got to bring this back into the whole topic of why you're here tonight, which is aliens and the church. And I got some questions here from our audience that I want to get to. This one comes from Lisa. She is saying, what about all the other religions, such as Zoroastrianism, that have almost identical stories about God and Jesus, but are much older than Christianity?
Okay, well, it doesn't matter how old it is. The one with the unique authority is the Lord Jesus. Why? Because he fulfilled Old Testament prophecies of the coming Messiah. He lived perfectly sinless and clean. He never sinned, and he rose again from the grave, and he proved himself to be God. He claimed to be God, proved himself to be God. And what Jesus said about Scripture is factual, therefore. It doesn't matter what Zoroaster or Baha'u'llah or Confucius or Muhammad or anyone else has said about anything, because nobody has the authority that Jesus has spiritually to speak on any subject. He's in a unique class of his own, and Jesus went ahead and he endorsed the entire Old Testament. He promised the New Testament. So we need to go to the Bible, what we call the Bible, believe what it says, especially the New Testament will give us the message of salvation. And even though Zoroastrianism might be older than Christianity, that doesn't mean that it's true.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so in regards to the study of extraterrestrials and the religious side, I have a question from Canadian Joe. His question is, are you familiar with the research of L.A. Marzulli? And if so, what is your opinion on it?
No, I'm not acquainted with him, so I really can't comment. Perhaps you might know something, Dave, and if you do, tell me what is the scoop on him, and maybe I can comment then.
Well, I'll have to look that up, and Joe, if you're listening, which I know you are, make sure you fill that in for me in a private message. I will get that to him right now. When it comes to ETs, though, there's a lot of people who believe that God himself may be an alien. What is your feelings on that?
I think that is laughable. That is ludicrous. And I wouldn't want to laugh in anyone's face, but over the phone, because of our conversation, I will express those thoughts because it really is ludicrous. the God of the Bible is a spirit being. He's infinite. He had no beginning, and he cannot die. It's nothing like the aliens that you hear about that get killed in a UFO crash, such as allegedly at Roswell, New Mexico in 1947 and other places. Nothing like that. The God of the Bible is totally different. He's all-knowing, everywhere present. He's eternal. Nothing like the aliens. I believe Roswell, New Mexico really did occur, and the reason I say that is because there's so many different testimonies. There's so much evidence that seem to point in that direction. There are people that claim that they have actually seen dead bodies, and some of which were supposed to be alive. They've seen a crashed airship. So perhaps Roswell really did exist, but again, if it did or not, as far as anything religious. Now, if we're talking gardening, yeah, you know, that's what we're talking about. Talking about aliens at Roswell, it's like talking about the garden. But when there would be a message from Roswell, New Mexico in 1947 that would be religious, all of a sudden now, we get away from the garden, and we get in a different realm, and we got to find out if what is being conveyed religiously is actually lining up with Scripture. And that's the problem I have, and that's why you've seen what you did on our website, evangelicaloutreach.org, on aliens and religion, that they do not mix. That's why, because our website, to a large degree, has all kind of information about false religious concepts, false messages, false teachers, false prophets, near-death experiences, how deceitful they can be, and dreams and other things like that. We need to go to the written Word of God, something we can sink our teeth into and stand on, and we have a sure, absolute, positively sure message that we know is true. When I started reading the Bible, I wanted to have something that I knew was factual, something that was accurate, that I could base my life upon. And I found it. The Bible really is that. The Bible is the proven Word of God. It has never been refuted, and the Bible will never be refuted, and the message of the Bible works. So anybody, any being, alien being, allegedly, or whatever, that would contradict the Bible, we have to reject it.
But I don't see them rejecting biblical statements, okay? As far as I have seen, when it comes to people who have had religious experiences, who have had extraterrestrial experiences, some will call it the exact same feeling.
You mentioned before that perhaps God's an alien. And, of course, one of the messages out there is that humans came from aliens. We were put here by aliens, and even aliens created the moon. All this is absolutely 180 degrees apart from the message of the Bible. God created the moon. God created Adam and Eve according to the Lord Jesus Christ and his apostles, and of course the Genesis account. What we see again coming from the alien gospel religiously flies square in the face of the message of the Bible. And that's why I have no doubt some Christians will just simply sweep the whole thing off and say it's demons. Because that part very well could be demons. Or these are lying, ignorant, deceived aliens. Maybe. But whatever, we know what they're saying is not true. It's very possible that they are demonic manifestations. It could be. But it doesn't have to be. I believe definitely that some of the things that people have said, they really are telling the truth. They really do believe that they were abducted in a UFO and they were given a medical examination. And that there were implants in their body that were surgically removed afterwards. And it was of a type of metal that we're not acquainted with in this world. And there's other strong evidence that would imply, wow, this is awesome. This is an amazing thing that is going on in our day. But again, anything that contradicts the message of the Bible is going contrary to the authority of the Lord Jesus, because it's his authority, his unique authority, that has set the Bible up in a preeminent position, never to be questioned. Well, you could question all you want, but you'll never disprove the message of the Bible. It's that simple. And by the way, I do want to throw this out. If a person would act upon the message of the Bible, they will be set free from their sin addictions. I didn't even know such could occur. And that happened to me. And when I repented, I dropped down on my knees and I cried out to God sincerely and humbly. I was turning from my sins to follow and obey God, to do His will in this life and to serve Him throughout this life and throughout all eternity. When I committed to God that way, to the Lord Jesus, I got off of my knees, free from my sin addictions. And I didn't even know that was possible. Since that point in time, I have encountered people that have been alcoholics, that have been cocaine and heroin addicts, instantly delivered because they did a similar thing. Not that I was a heroin addict or cocaine addict, nothing like that. But they'll be delivered from their sin addictions, if it's pornography or whatever it is, instantly by the power of God. And when I say that the Bible works, it works. And that's what I'm talking about. It will make a person a new creation in Christ. And that is why the message of the Bible is so valuable. The only place you'll ever find that information is in the pages of Scripture.
I get that. Okay, let's go to the pages of Scripture here, because if we go back to Ezekiel, he has a very defining description of a UFO.
All right, well, go ahead and prove to me that it's a UFO.
Give me 1 second here, and I will get that.
Are you talking about what Eric Von Doniggan stated?
Let's see here. I'm pulling it up right now. The date was 593 B.C., and Ezekiel 1:16, the following is, let me find it here. This was the appearance and structure of the wheels, the sparkle like chrysolite, and all four look alike. Each appeared to be made like a wheel intersecting a wheel.
Okay, just because it speaks of a wheel, and we can't make heads or tails of it, that doesn't mean that it's an alien aircraft. Besides, it's not like the disc-shaped flying saucers that we're acquainted with, that we hear of in our day, has wheels on them. Now, I'm not saying that, of course, we would know about all the different shapes of alien aircrafts that might exist throughout the universe, if there are any at all, assuming that there are many. Let's just say that for a moment. There might be some, but in no way, shape, or form can that scripture from Ezekiel be made to prove that that was an alien aircraft. Whatever Ezekiel saw, he saw. We don't necessarily know what it was, but that doesn't mean that it was a UFO. And there is no scripture that substantiates that it was an alien aircraft. And even if there was, which there definitely isn't, that wouldn't change in any way, shape, or form the message of salvation on how to get our sins forgiven. So there's nothing in the Bible. Jesus never mentioned aliens. Jesus never mentioned UFOs or ETs or EBEs or anything like that. Nothing. And neither did the apostles. It was never an issue of primary concern. Bear this in mind. Let's just say for a moment in 593 BC it really was a UFO. If it was, then the apostles didn't give it any time. It was a trifling issue to them. They didn't even mention it. They continue to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus because that's the most important thing that needs to go out into all the world. I realize other things go out, but I mean that's the most important. Go ahead.
I got to cut you off right there only because we are literally about 45 seconds away from taking our first break here. I'm looking at the chat rooms, and I want to say to the people in the chat rooms right now, okay, if you want me to ask a question, I have no problem asking the question. Give me specifics. There are certain things I may not know. I don't have time to look them up on Google, okay? I want specific questions. And if you got to make them a little bit more detailed, please do so, because I want to make sure we get your questions to the guests. This show is all about you, the valued listener. So let's do that. We're in a hot one tonight with Dan Corner from Evangelical Outreach.